Let's talk a little bit about youth engagement. How do we engage youth? And the question here, are you scratching where they are itching? I posed a question to a leader, this question to a youth leader. He had been working with a group of young people that were, he had a really hard time controlling. These high schoolers were sabotaging his meetings week after week. And after he explained what was going on and the challenges he was having, I posed this question to him. Do you think you're scratching where they are itching? And he thought for a moment and he said, no, I probably am not. As I shared before, Jesus, he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, but from many meetings that I've heard where presentations were made to young people, I did not think they would figure out that from what was presented that Jesus was acquainted with their grief. And many times it's because the leader is not close enough to understand the needs of the young people that they seek to serve. We cannot solve problems we do not understand, but we also cannot understand from a distance. And so one of the challenges that we face, that most youth leaders face, is that of context. Most youth programs are part of something larger. It could be a church or a parachurch or a particular organization, but you come in as a youth worker as a part of something bigger. And that something bigger has assumptions and expectations. If you were hired by a church to be a youth director or youth pastor, you will walk into a situation where the adults have expectations regarding what should happen with young people. There may be, some of them may be more detailed than others, but there are some basic assumptions there, that this is what you're going to do, and this is what we want the results to be. And you, as a youth leader, have to adapt to that that reality. Sometimes that happens without you even thinking about it. You don't even realize that you're walking into a context that's going to define what you do and how you do it. But most youth ministries are in that setting. And so consequently, again, they're governed by ideas that are not necessarily conducive to youth development. And a lot of it has to do with assumptions. What are some assumptions? What are some assumptions that adults might have regarding youth and youth ministry? Well, one might be, give them healthy activities, lots of love in the gospel, and then God will take care of the rest. If you just come in there and just show them that you love them, and God will do everything else. Another one. This is a good one. The cream will rise to the top. And so when you're working with kids, if you've got a troubled kid, then that kid's just troubled. But it's those kids that are good kids in your program, and they show some promise, those are the ones, they are going to rise to the top. And so therefore, focus on them. Focus on them. They're the ones that are going to succeed. The other ones, you try your best, but you don't really have great expectations regarding them. What are some other commonly held assumptions by Christians, in general, that impact youth ministry? Well, one of them is this. Evangelism is the primary task of the church, and so therefore it becomes the primary focus of youth ministry. Here's another one. Christian maturity is measured by one's knowledge of Scripture. If you really know your Bible, that is a sign of Christian maturity. Another one is this. Adolescents simply lack the maturity to lead. They're not really leadership material until they become adults. Until then, they just don't have the maturity. You might put them in some positions where they might have a little bit of responsibility with you guiding them along the way. But as far as them being able to make decisions on their own, no. They lack the maturity for that. And also, if you're going to develop leaders, developing leadership capacity in youth is a transactional process. They come into your program, you give them responsibilities, you tell them what to do, and those that do it, and they do it well without complaint, then they are the ones that show that they are leaders. These are assumptions. An assumption is anything you believe to be true without proof. And these are assumptions that can have a defining effect on your youth ministry. And so, what does transformational engagement look like? Well, one is context. You have to establish a context that is conducive to ministry. And as the leader, you can define that. In fact, it's your job to define that. And we'll talk about that, how what it means for the leader and the first responsibility of the leader is to define reality. Within your scheme, within your realm of youth ministry, you as a leader define what happens. And so you can create a context that is conducive to ministry. Secondly, transformational engagement involves putting assumptions aside. I grew up on Long Island in a hamlet. Our town was literally divided by railroad tracks, blacks on one side, poor on one side, rich on the other, blacks on one side, whites on the other. And so I grew up in a neighborhood similar to the Five Points area that I spent most of my adult life working in. Well, when I came to Denver, I did not assume that the young people that I grew up with in on Long Island were similar to the young people I was about to engage in Denver. I needed to set any assumptions aside and deal with them and focus on them. I also found over the course of time that there are a lot of assumptions about ministry. There are a lot of discussions going on in the broader Christian world about judgments regarding youth and kids and politics and all the rest. And I remember having to intentionally not listen to that. Because I found that all of those things, all of those ideas, those judgments, those opinions, if I allowed those in my head, they would taint my ability to really hear what the young person was saying. And so you have to put assumptions aside and listen to youth. Even if you're walking into a youth program and you know that they have problems, you must let them define the problem so you can speak to them in terms that they understand. So you need to put assumptions aside and to really listen to young people. We need to discover felt need. This is modeled by Jesus. Again, in John chapter 3 and chapter 4, dealing with the woman at the well and with Nicodemus, He dealt with them individually. You find in his engagements with everyone, he knew who he was talking to. He knew what the felt need was at the time, what needed to be said at that time to that person, and that's how he addressed them. This is modeled by Jesus, that we need to discover the felt need and allow youth's felt needs to establish the context in which the gospel is shared. Later on, I'll talk about a very simple step of asking kids to write down questions they have regarding God, Christianity, and life, and allowing those questions to shape the context in which presentations are made. And then we need to bring Jesus to the point of felt needs. There it is. Write down questions regarding God, Christianity, or life. And then as you have your discussion groups and your one-on-ones, always in your meetings is the question, where is God in all of this? You're talking about human sexuality. You're talking about parents. You're talking about school. You're talking about growing up in the neighborhood. In all of this, where is God in all of this? Does God have a say? Is God engaged? Does God want to respond to this? The answer is yes. There's nothing going on that God does not know about. He doesn't care about. It's the responsibility of the leader to be able to share God's perspective in terms that young people understand. And Jesus modeled this in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. At one point, he says, after he says, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, in no way will you enter the kingdom of heaven. And then he goes into a series where he says, you have heard it said, but now I say to you. What's happening at that time? You have heard it said, he is addressing, here is the issue that you have. Here is your perspective. Here's what you have been taught. Here is what you have embraced. This is the idea that has shaped your life. But now I say to you, and he gives them God's idea. This is what the scriptures say. This is what God meant. This is how they were to be taken and applied. And so you're bringing Jesus to the point of felt need. This, again, has tremendous implications for youth ministry. And first of all, preaching is not enough. Preaching that one-way communication is not enough. And again, I'm not saying that preaching is bad. In fact, preaching can be very transformative. But it triggers transformation when other factors are present. And that is the engaged mind of the listener and a heart that is open to change. So even in your preaching, if you are not close enough to people to be able to step back and properly assess and apply God's word to their reality, then you're not going to communicate. And with young people who are struggling with discovering their identity, you need to hear their felt need, and you need to respond to that. That takes dialogue, that takes listening, and then that takes communicating in very clear terms God's perspective. So, context, expectations, assumptions, they all impact ministry effectiveness. The task of the youth leader is to bring Jesus to the point of felt need. And I would encourage you, in your reading, John Perkins has written a number of books, but this at one time was the handbook for the Christian Community Development Association, Restoring At-Risk Communities, Doing It Together and Doing It Right. He actually was the editor of this book, with many wonderful writings that deal with what that philosophy is and how it impacts how we engage with youth today.